Welcome back. We moved outside the Roadcaster here in Marley Park. It's sort of half spitting, you know, that sort of way. It could clear up. Probably will clear up. Be positive. It will clear up between now and 5:30 for our run with Ray. Now, Sinead beside me, and so is Keith. And we spoke to Sinead before about parkrun and how it transformed her life. They're here with their son, Daniel, who's 17. Good to talk to you again, Sinead.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
How are you, Keith?
How are you, Ray?
Yeah. So, remind us about your story. So, you had Daniel at what age?
Daniel, I was 33, so right. Daniel was my second child. And he was born 12 pounds one. At that stage, I probably had an innate feeling that there was something wrong, even though doctors didn't. And it took about 6 weeks for them to really kind of say, yeah, there is, because I kept pushing to say, I do think there's something wrong. At that stage, they didn't really know what was wrong with him other than that there was no sight in his eyes, even though the eyes were perfect. And that he had a few other little issues, but they just called it global developmental delay and, you know, wait and see approach with the eyes to see what would happen. It was about when he was coming up to about a year old. We then kind of were getting more closer to a diagnosis with the neurologist, who kind of was looking at him and thinking he kind of has an overgrowth, and that would explain the size he was born. And then he came up with the condition that he felt he had, which was Sotos syndrome, which is a rare genetic disorder, and which the genetic doctor did confirm. And then with us going over to Birmingham as well, he confirmed it with us too.
So that's a life-changing diagnosis.
It is, because at that stage you find out what the syndrome is. So it varies with different children, and you know, you can be mild or severe, but Dan has the severe form of it, and he was the 65th child in the world with the severe form of it. So it takes on with Daniel severe intellectual disability, mobility issues, his cortical visual impairment, sensory processing disorder, aspiration of fluids, incontinence, nonverbal, epilepsy. And there's other things that can happen along the way as age develops, but you're hoping that the medical side of it doesn't really kick in, because he's very healthy at this moment.
Yeah, so you're coming to terms with that. You're in your 30s. You've all the other things that life throws at you as well. But it's a big struggle, a big challenge.
Initially, you don't really know, and you're just kind of muddling through, because you're going to all the doctors and you don't really know what's going on, and you're just hoping, I think, all the time that they have it wrong and things are going to change. I would think it was until he was around four, probably 3, 4, 5-ish, that I knew that he's well out of the milestones now and things aren't going to be that way. But in meeting the doctor from Birmingham, he kind of said to me, don't be waiting for him to talk, don't be waiting for him to do things, just look at him now and see what he can do, and that will help you through. And I think they were the most loveliest words I could have ever gotten from anyone, because at that stage then I forgot about him waiting for words and starting to look at how he was communicating to me then at that stage in lots of different ways. And then we just, you know, work with a therapist, then we find a way to communicate with him then.
And your own doctor then said that maybe you should get out and do something for you.
I went to him. I think I was working on a carer's leave basis at that stage, and that 2 years was up. But then I couldn't stay on and work, and I knew that was going to happen. And I was kind of down for a couple of weeks, and I went around to talk to him. I didn't want to leave this fester within me. So he kind of said, look, Sinead, this situation is for life. You can't be on tablets for life. I will help you out if you want. But he said to me, would you run? And he knew I had done fitness. And I said, oh, run? I said, I don't know whether I want to run. He said, well, look, go around the daughter beside you and just trot for a little while and see how it makes you feel. So I did. And then I progressed of doing laps of the daughter, and then progressed to doing a 5K kind of route around my area. And then I was in a fitness club, and then they started to do the Marley Park run over here. Uh-huh. So that's where I started the 5K park run and, you know, the time element in it then, and becoming, you know, looking at that then and becoming better and realising how it made me feel, which was brilliant.
And it's been an eye-opener for you and Daniel as well.
Yeah, but shortly after that, I had to get a new buggy for Dan. Not that I had to get a new one. I was looking for something that was more easier to get around, and I could go outside with him outdoors. Lots of the buggies wouldn't be able to push a weight in them, and I looked for something. I seen one in America, and a guy in England had brought them in, so I got one from him. So they were the jogger buggies. Mm. So I got one for Dan, and I was just using it for walking, like an easier buggy to walk and push, and get. I could go out for a 10K walk with him, you know, easier to get around. It was just one day, because I had started to run. I wonder, will he like it? So I'm going to trot a little bit. And then as I stopped, he kind of banged his head back again, and I went again with him, and he seemed to like it. So then I just started to build on that and get used to pushing him, and then brought myself up to running 5K with him. And then I approached, it was Time and Park had come then on the park run route then. So I had approached them then, could I run here with Daniel? And they said yes. And I suppose the biggest thing then was, that was February 2016, it was Valentine's weekend. We decided we'd share the love, and Daniel brought down love hearts for everyone. But the biggest thing for me was that they had messaged me, Sinead, make sure you sign Daniel up with a barcode, which I kind of went, Daniel on a barcode? So actually, I didn't kind of connect in how that would make me feel. But then when the results came up, I'm looking for my own. And right above my name, because he came in for before me,
yeah,
was Daniel's name.
Boogie.
Daniel's name. Yay. And a number. And I think that was like having his name up in lights, because to see his name there, and it was recognition and it was inclusiveness. And we've been there ever since. So that was, Daniel was 6 years of age. So we've been there ever since.
And you've done marathons, Keith.
Yes, Sinead started the marathons with, first of all, like with Daniel, and got to the stage was one Christmas Sinead decided to, well, like a kid for Christmas, and so she got me an old entry into the Dublin Marathon.
That's love.
So 12 months of training, and do you know what, Ray, I was looking at other people jumping on board with Sinead and running with Daniel in the first marathon that he ever did, and I said, well, here, I can't be just sitting back and letting other people take over and push my son around, you know, so... That was my first one. Now I've done four. Sinead's done six. Daniel's coming up to eight this year. So as long as I'm able to run, I'll keep running with him. That's the way it goes. I've missed out on an awful lot.
Yeah.
With, like, it's not every day, like on a Saturday or Sunday, you see my friends and other lads I know taking the kids to basketball matches and Gaelic football, soccer, swimming. Swimming, we go with them, all right, you know. But it's the football and the basketball stuff. Like, that's what I did, and the Gaelic football. So. But I enjoy the running with him. It gets me out. It's a bit of exercise and a bit of bonding time, yeah. Daddy and boy time. Like, so Daniel loves it, as I say. He loves to smile.
And the buggy, the back wheels are the size of bicycles wheels.
Yeah.
And then that'd the front one's about 20 inches, is it?
Yeah, 20
yeah,
inches.
Yeah.
20 inches, yeah.
So you can run a pace.
Yeah, you can run at a very comfortable pace. Yeah. It's whatever pace the person behind is able to run and push the rig at. So.
And Daniel, is he over 6 foot?
Yeah, he's 6'4". He's fully stretched out. He's right. Just the size of his dad.
And his size, what, 12, 14?
Yeah, 12 feet. Yeah, he still has growth. Still growth in him. Right. Because he has, they reckon he's one more growth spurt in him. So that's, I'd say he could go a little bit taller, you know. Right. Yeah.
He says don't rule out 7 foot, like, so I'm just hoping it's not 7 foot. We got the house adapted, so we don't want to get the roof adapted as well on it, to get him in and out of the house. But it's
just remarkable. It's such a small thing, isn't it? And, you know, the park run and the community and acceptance.
Because at that stage, Dan has very challenging behaviour, and for me to bring him out, it's a huge thing for me to let people see him in his truest form. And I do remember one of the volunteers coming over to me and saying, don't be standing on your own, you're all right, we're here with you, we're going to learn about Daniel and you're okay. And I think once someone said that to me, it became a stage that I could walk away and leave Daniel, clap other people's hands. And now we go down and there's friends there every week for Dan. He celebrates his birthday every year there. You know, it's the milestones then from his 150th park run. We make a big thing for him, and the community really get around us. We volunteer, my mother volunteers, our other family come down at times. So it's really, he's really well known there, and it's a part of his community, our Saturday morning. It's one of our safest places to be with him.
It's just a brilliant story. Like, your story is a brilliant story, and it's about you getting up and getting out. Keith, you getting up and getting out, yeah. And then the
more
park run.
Getting him out and about.
Yeah, yeah. Good to see you, Daniel. Good to see you. Thanks, Keith.